وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ. And for you is half of what your wives leave if they have no child. The previous ayah, in that we learnt about the shares of the children and the parents. Now in this ayah, we will learn about who? The shares of the spouses, the husband and the wife, and also the shares of the siblings. وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ, and for you is half. This is the first clause. Again, there are going to be several clauses in this ayah, so make sure you number them. First of all, وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ, for you, meaning for you men, the husbands, they will inherit نِصْفُ, half of what? مَا تَرَكَ, whatever left. Who left? أَزْوَاجِكُمْ, your wives. And over here, أَزْوَاج means wives. So, a man will inherit how much? Half of the estate of the wife when she dies, in the case where إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ, if there was not لَهُنَّ, for them. For who? For the wives. وَلَدٌ, a child. So if a man marries a woman and she does not have any children, neither with him nor from before, neither with him nor from before, then in that case, the husband, he is going to inherit half of the entire estate of the woman. Second case, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ. So if there was for them, meaning for the women, for the wives who have died, waladun, child. And remember, walad, again, any child, male, female, one or more. Falakum, then for you, meaning for the husband, is a rubur, is the 1/4, the quarter. Mimma tarakna, from what they have left. The second case is that if a woman dies, leaving behind children and a husband, then how much is the husband going to get? 1/4. And these children of the woman can be through which husband? The current husband and also previous husband, ex-husband. And this walad, others have said, that it also includes grandsons. So let's say, if a woman dies, her son is not alive at that time, but her son's son is alive, then the same thing will be applied. The husband will get only how much? A quarter. And the rest will go to who? To the children. Mimma tarakna, from what they have left. Meaning from what the women have left. Mim ba'di wasiyatin, from after wasiyah. Meaning again, this distribution will be when? After the wasiyah is carried out. Yusina biha, that the women made awdainin, or a debt. What does this show? That a woman has the right to own property. A woman has the right to own property. And notice it has been said, mimma tarakna, from whatever they have left. So how much ever it is, there is no limit. Similarly, we learn that a woman, she has the right to make wasiyah. She has the right to make wasiyah. And whatever belongs to the woman is actually hers. It does not belong to her husband. It does not belong to her parents. It is actually her property. It's her wealth. And so her estate will also be distributed after the wasiyah that she had made is executed, and after a loan that she owed to someone is returned. Thirdly, وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ, and for them is 1/4. For who? For the women, meaning for the wives. Now this is the opposite case, where the husband dies, leaving behind wives. So the wives, they have a rubu', the 1/4, مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ, from what you have left. إِلَّمْ يَكُلْ لَكُمْ وَلَدْ, if you don't have a child. Meaning, if the man dies, leaving behind no children, leaving behind no children, whether through his current wives or previous wives, he doesn't have any children, but he leaves behind who? Wives, أزواج. So these wives, how much will they inherit? A rubu', the 4th. What does it mean? That if he leaves behind one wife, she will get 1/4. If he leaves behind two wives, then they will share in 1/4. And if he leaves behind four, then they will share in one fourth. Because it's walahunna, for them, meaning for all of them, no matter how many they are. But again, it's which wives? Current wives. An ex-wife from 5 years ago, from 20 years ago, cannot come and demand a share of inheritance. And this is in which case? Where the husband does not have any children. Number four. فَإِن كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ Then if there is for you a walad, meaning the man dies leaving behind children, فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ Then for them is one-eighth. One-eighth. A thumun is from ثمانية. What does ثمانية mean? Eight. Do you know numbers 1 to 10 in Arabic? You should learn. I'm sure you'll find a lot of nasheeds, these poems for children on YouTube and things like that. So just listen to it again and again and you will learn. It's good to know. Because these words, they come over and over again. So, فَلَهُنَّ ثُمُن So for them is one-eighth. Again, what does it mean? That if a man dies leaving behind one or more wives, then what's going to happen? And if he has children, then the wives are going to inherit one-eighth. One wife, she will keep one-eighth. Two wives, they will share in one-eighth. Three, four, they will share in one-eighth. And these children that the man has could be through these wives or could be from previous wives. فَإِن كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ From what you have left. And the question is, why do the wives inherit less? If you look at it, the husband, he inherits how much? Either half or quarter. And when it comes to the wife, how much does she inherit? A quarter or one-eighth. Why? Because again, she doesn't have to support anyone. This money that she's getting is only for herself. And if the children inherit, aren't they responsible for supporting their mothers? Yes, they are. So if the share of the women has been reduced in the case where the husband leaves behind children, why? Because the children have to look after those mothers. مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ From what you have left, again, مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ تُوصُونَ بِهَا أَوْدَيْنِ From after a wasiyah, that تُوصُونَ بِهَا you all made, meaning you all made the wasiyah of it, before dying, after it has been executed, then the estate is going to be divided. أَوْدَيْنٍ or a debt that you owe to someone, after that has been paid, then the estate is going to be divided. Number five. وَإِن كَانَ رَجُلٌ And if there is a man, if there is a man, who, which man? Meaning the man who has died. This deceased man, يُرَثُ, he is inherited, وَرَثَ, meaning he is being inherited, as who? As a كَلَالَةً, as a كَلَالَة. This man dies, and he is being inherited by his heirs as a كَلَالَة. Meaning he dies as a kalala. أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٌ Or there's a woman. Meaning a woman who dies as a kalala. Now the question is, who is a kalala? Kalala is a person with no ascendants or descendants. What does it mean? He or she does not have parents or grandparents, however upwards, and he doesn't have any children or grandchildren, however downwards. And this word is derived from the root letters kaf, lam, lam. From the word kalal. And kalal is weakness, fatigue. What is it? Weakness, tiredness. When a person is tired and fatigued. Why is the kalala called kalala? Because a person who does not have parents, does not have children, he will get tired. For example, if there's a young person, let's say she's in her 20s, she's in her teens, and her parents are not alive. Her parents have passed away. All of the work falls on who? On her. Isn't she going to get tired? Yes. Similarly, there's a person who is older, and they don't have children. Who is all of the work going to fall upon? Them. So obviously, that is also going to make them tired. So kalala is munqati'at tarafain, meaning someone who is munqati', who is cut off from the two taraf. From above and from below. And the word ikleel is also from the same root. And ikleel is used for a crown. Because if you look at it, the crown, from above, there's nothing. And below also, there's nothing. There's only the sides, there's only the borders. So Kalala is someone who does not have ascendants or descendants, but he has siblings. Who does he have? Siblings. Surroundings. Relatives by his side, brothers or sisters. So if there is a person, a rajul aw imra'atun, a man or a woman, who dies and he is being inherited, he or she is being inherited, but they die as a kalala, meaning they have no parents, they have no children. So what's going to happen? Walahu, and for him, meaning for this kalala, is akhun aw ukhtun, a brother or a sister. This kalala has a brother or a sister, meaning a brother from the same mother, aw ukhtun. فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا, then for each one of them too. Each one of them too, meaning for each brother and sister, is how much? السُّدُس, the 1/6. If you look at it over here, the share of the man and the woman is the same. Correct? And how much is that? 1/6. In the case of what? Siblings. In the absence of parents and children. Why? Why is it the same? Because they only have to worry about themselves. I mean, they're not obligated to spend on one another. So, فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ. Number 6. فَإِن كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, then if they were more than that. Who was more than that? The siblings were more than that. More than what? More than one brother and more than one sister. So, for example, if a person leaves behind two or more brothers, two or more sisters, then what's going to happen? فَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فِي الثُّلُثِ, then all of them, they will be shuraka, partners, which is the plural of the word shariq, in how much? الثُلُث, the 1/3. So 1/3 of the entire estate is going to go to who? The siblings. If there are more than one brother and one sister, then they're going to equally share in الثُلُث, the 1/3. And this is going to be when, مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصَى بِهَا أَوْدَيْنٍ, after a wasiyah that the person made, after it has been executed, أَوْدَيْنٍ, or a debt that he owed has been returned, then this is going to be done. Over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, غَيْرَ مُضَارٍ, غَيْرَ, other than, مُضَارٍ, one that harms. مُضَارٍ is from the root letters ضَادْرَارَ. And what does darar mean? Harm. Mudar is one that harms. One that harms. What does it mean by this? Meaning the wasiyah should be ghayra mudar. The wasiyah that the person made before he died should be ghayra mudar. Meaning it should not be harmful towards people. What does it mean by that? That a person cannot make such a will before he dies that all of my estate should go to such and such charity and not to my relatives. If he makes that will, is that mudar? Yes, it is. So how will it be mudar? If the heirs are deprived of their shares, if the wasiyah is such in which the heirs are deprived of their shares. Now if you think of it, why is this mentioned after the kalala? Doesn't this apply to all of the people? Think about it. It applies to all of the people. But why is this mentioned specifically after the kalala? Because many times what happens is that people think, I don't have children, I don't have parents. My siblings, they don't need anything. Why should I care about them? All of this money that I have, all of this wealth that I have, I should instead give it to some charity. Or I should give it to some friend of mine. I should will it for so and so person, for a friend of mine. And in this case, many times people tend to neglect their siblings. But the siblings also have a share. The siblings also have a share. Now a person might say, I haven't met my sister in 15 years. Happens. I haven't met my sister in 15 years, in 10 years. I don't know where she is. I don't know what she does. We don't like each other anymore. We hardly ever talk. So why should she inherit from me? Because she's your blood relative. This is nasiwa mafruḍa, zawil furud. This has been made fard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasiyatan, this is a wasiyah from who? Min Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and you don't have a say in deciding what goes to who. Wallahu alimun halim, and Allah is knowing and He is also halim, meaning He is forbearing. What do we learn from this ayah? First of all, if you look at the two ayahs that we learned, they mentioned the dhawil furud, the shares of who? Dhawil furud, those whose shares have been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the immediate family, which includes one's parents, children, spouse, as well as siblings. Secondly, we learn from these ayat that the division of wealth, the division of the estate, is decided by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we learn that the division of the estate is going to be done when? After the dayn and after the wasiyah. After the loan has been returned and after the will has been carried out. Also, we learn that a woman has as much freedom to decide what happens with her wealth as a man does. Meaning she has a right to make a wasiyah just as a man has a right to make a wasiyah with regards to her wealth. Also, we learn that a person should not make a wasiyah in order to harm his heirs, in order to deprive the heirs of his wealth. A person should not make a wasiyah in order to harm, in order to deprive his heirs from his money, from his estate. Because again, what happens is that people think that, no, my children need this money more, or my parents need this money more, my siblings don't need it, why should they get it? They don't have any share in this. But the fact is that just because somebody is related to you, that is why they have a share. And this decision has been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should not make a wasiyah in order to deprive an heir of his share. Also, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's division is based on what? Allah's knowledge and His being Halim. Why is Halim mentioned over here? Halim is one who does not punish immediately, one who is tolerant. So sometimes, because of our differences, because of our disagreements, because of our fights, we want to deprive one another of their rights. Correct? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim. When it comes to rights, when it comes to blood ties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim. He's not biased like we are. Recitation.
وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ فَلَكُمُ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِينَ بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ تُوصُونَ بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ وَإِنْ كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُورَثُ كَلَالَةً أَوْ امْرَأَةٌ وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ فلكل واحد منهما السدس فإن كانوا أكثر من ذلك فهم شركاء في الثلث من بعد وصية يوصى بها أو دين غير مضار وصية من الله والله عليم حليم.
Now what happens is that when a person dies, first of all, it is taken into consideration that which of his relatives are alive. Does he have parents? Does he have siblings? Does he have children? Okay, who all are there? How are they related to him? And then according to that, the shares are allotted. The shares are given. Because you see, with the existence of one relationship, one relative even, the share of the other is affected. Correct? Like for instance, in the presence of children, the wife's share is reduced. So this is why what is done is that at the time of death, all of the relatives who are alive at that time, they are taken into consideration, and depending on that, the shares are allotted. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hudud is a plural of had. And what does had mean? An edge, a limit, a boundary. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says hudud, it either refers to commands, the awamir, or it refers to the prohibitions, the nawahi. Either it refers to the commands or the prohibitions. Now, how do you figure out what meaning it is exactly in the context? You have to see the entire context. Like for instance, over here, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. In this ayah it has been said, whoever obeys Allah. Whoever obeys Allah. What does it mean? That whoever follows the commands. Whoever follows the commands. So these are the commands, these are the awamir that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given with regards to the law of inheritance. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّات. He will admit him into gardens. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَار. Underneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Abiding therein eternally. وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the greatest success. So what do we learn from this ayah? That the mawarith, the laws of inheritance, the designated heirs and their shares are all from the hudud of Allah. They are all of the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. That just as Allah has commanded us to pray, to give zakat, to fast, to speak the truth, similarly He has commanded that this share, this much, must be given to so and so relative. So the mawarith, they are from the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who implements this law is going to get reward. Just as a person, when he implements the other laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other commands of Allah, he gets rewarded. Similarly, when a person implements this law, he will also get rewarded. What does this show? That even this is part of ibadah. This is an act of worship. We think that worship is just rituals. It doesn't have anything to do with money. It doesn't have anything to do with shares of inheritance. It does. Because this is of the hudud of Allah. And a person who follows these hudud, he will get reward. What does it show? That this is an act of worship. Just as we give importance to hajj and zakat and salah, similarly, importance must be given to the laws of inheritance as well. Also we learn from this ayah, that obedience to the Prophet ﷺ is like obedience to Allah. Because it has been said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And His Messenger. Both. Both are important. Both are necessary. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger. يَعْصِ from عِصِيَان, مَعْصِيَة. Which is to not do what a person has been commanded. Or to do that which is forbidden. So whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, and he transgresses the boundaries. You see, يَتَعَدَّ. يَتَعَدَّ is from the root letters عَيْن دَ الْوَاو. Same root as the word عَدُو. Who is an عَدُو, an enemy? What does he do? He crosses the limits in his enmity, in his hatred. So يَتَعَدَّ is to transgress the limits, to cross the boundaries, to overstep the limits. يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. And remember that, as I mentioned to you earlier, that hudud, either it refers to the awamir or it refers to the nawahi. Now, one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the hudud, فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Don't even go near the hudud. Don't even approach the limits. Don't even approach the boundaries. In that case, the hudud refers to the prohibitions. In that case, the hudud refers to the nawahi, the prohibitions, the muharramat. And where it has been said, that لَا تَعْتَدُوهَا, do not transgress them, do not overstep them, or يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, then the hudud refers to what? The awamir, the commands. Okay? So وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, meaning he does not care about the commands of Allah. He doesn't implement the commands of Allah. He learns about the law of inheritance, but he says, no, We're just going to do whatever we like. This is my money. I'm going to decide. What does Allah say? وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. He does not obey. He does not listen. He doesn't care about the laws that Allah has given. يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا. He will admit him into fire. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. One abiding therein eternally. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for him is a humiliating punishment. Notice over here that the person being sent to hellfire is mentioned in the singular. خَالِدًا يُدْخِلْهُ وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And in the previous ayah, where the reward for those people who obey Allah and His Messenger, it was mentioned in the plural. خَالِدِينَ. Compare the two ayat. Turn your page, compare the two ayat. Look at the ayah. Everybody, what does the previous ayah say? خَالِدِينَ. And what does this ayah say? خَالِدًا. Why? What's the difference? Why has this been mentioned in this way? Because a person in Jannah is not going to be alone. A person in Jannah is not going to be alone. Whereas a person in the hellfire, even though hellfire, Jahannam, is going to be filled and compacted with the people of hellfire, still a person is going to be alone. How? Why? How will he be alone? In his sufferings, he will be alone. No one is going to come and share the pain with him. Whereas in Jannah, we learn that people will meet one another. They will talk to one another. They will be sitting with one another, eating together, enjoying together, in the righteous company. But the people in hellfire, nobody is going to come and share their suffering and punishment with them. They will be alone. They will be alone. Not seen by anyone, so that nobody has any compassion for them. Nobody has any compassion for them. So خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And notice the punishment is muheen. Muheen is from the root letters ha, waw, noon. Haun. And what does haun mean? Ihana. Humiliation. Disgrace. What does it mean by this? You see, a punishment is humiliating when it is physical and mental. Physical and emotional. Physical, like for instance, a person is being beaten up. Is that embarrassing? Is that humiliating? Is that degrading? Of course it is. Similarly, a person is being shouted at. A person is being reproached. Every time he asks for relief, he is turned back. Is that disgrace? Yes, it is. So, وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. عَذَاب that is جِسْمِي, that is physical, and that is also قَلْبِي. It is also nafsi. It is also mental. It is also emotional. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. What do we learn from this ayah? That disobedience to Allah and His Messenger is a cause of punishment. Disobedience to Allah and His Messenger is a cause of punishment. Because over here it has been said, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. Disobeying Allah and the Messenger, ignoring the commands that Allah has given, this invites the punishment of Allah upon a person. This ayah also teaches us that ignoring or leaving out or not applying the laws of inheritance is not something that is very insignificant or something that is small, something that is minor. No, this is something that is very serious. This knowledge, this science is called ilm al-fara'id, because this is something fard. It's fard kifaya. Some people must excel in learning the science, and everybody has to implement it properly, because if they don't, what are they doing? Crossing the limits that have been set by Allah, which entails punishment, which brings upon a person punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn from a hadith that is mentioned in Abu Dawood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man or a woman might perform actions in obedience to Allah for 60 years, yet when they are near death, they leave an unfair will, a wasiyah that is mudar, an unfair will, and thus acquire the fire. A whole life of obedience is nullified by what? Is nullified by what? By the final act of disobedience. The last action that a person commits is of what? Disobedience to Allah, which cancels out the previous good deeds. And thus he acquires the fire. What does this show? That we have to be very careful about our wasiyah, about the laws of inheritance. about making sure that the estate is divided according to the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So for instance, if a person is living in a non-Muslim land, then he must make a wasiyah, he must make a will that his estate be divided according to Islamic law. He must make this wasiyah. Because if a person does not make this wasiyah, what's going to happen? Then the law will decide whatever happens. It's possible that the heirs who are designated by the law of the land, they don't care. And the actual heirs, the real heirs, they are deprived of their share. This is going to be masiyah. Why didn't you do anything from before to make sure that you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with this matter? Recitation of these two ayat.
تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ.
You have questions? I know all of you have a lot of questions, but remember that what we read today was just the ayat of inheritance. We didn't study about the law of inheritance. Okay? The law of inheritance, yes, it is based on these ayat, the ayat of miras. However, there is much more that we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and also from the statements of the companions, which you can find in different books from different resources. And if there is a need, like you really need to know about something because you are in that situation or somebody you know is in that situation, then ask about those issues. Okay, from those people who are knowledgeable, who have knowledge of this science. And also we learn that the loan has to be paid off even before the janazah. And funeral expenses come after the loan. But sometimes what happens is that like you have to pay immediately for the funeral. Okay? I know you have questions, there's so many questions, there's so many possibilities. Obviously this is math. Huh? Fractions. A lot of possibilities. And again, I'm reminding you that this is not a class of the law of inheritance. If you have any further questions, you may consult these books. There's two books actually. One is by Jibali, and the other one, I don't remember the name, but it's a very good, thick book. A lot of possibilities and scenarios, and you can benefit from that, inshallah. Making a wasiyah is not something mandatory. It's not fard. If a person only wishes to, if he thinks that he has something, then he can. Like for instance, we learn about the Sahabi who was unwell, and the Prophet ﷺ visited him and he said that, "I only have a daughter, so can I give my wealth in the way of Allah, all of it or half of it?" And eventually it came down to one third, but he had only one daughter. So sometimes it happens that a person thinks that he doesn't have many inheritors, many heirs, only one daughter, one child, or one distant cousin, one distant relative, then he would rather that some of the wealth also goes to the way of Allah. So in that situation, a person can do that. Or if a person thinks that he has a lot of money, a lot of wealth, even in that case, he can make a wasiyah of up to one third and not more than that. Okay? And remember that wasiyah is not just about money, it's about other things as well.
Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.